And I gave the reasons in favor of Madras. And he said, yes, that's all right. I said, but then again, I was thinking maybe I should go to Bombay. And then I gave all the reasons in favor of Bombay. And in the exact same tone of voice, without any change of expression, he said, yes, that's all right. And then I started to get a sinking feeling that this wasn't working. But I was already sort of committed to this plan, so I went through with it to the end. I said, but then again, Srila Prabhupada, I was thinking maybe I should just stay in Calcutta. And I gave the reasons. He said, yes, that's all right. So I knew this didn't work at all. But I was actually happy that my spiritual master couldn't be tricked by some silly neophyte disciple. So it was back to chanting in front of Radha Govinda and praying. And eventually I got the insight. It wasn't even while I was chanting in front of the deities, it just came that I should go to Bombay. Then I got really busy, and it was a difficult situation in Juhu. I tried to chant, but I didn't have that routine like I did in Calcutta, like 12 rounds in the temple. But I would, I still would chant loudly, and I wasn't in a hurry, I would pronounce. And then during the first Bombay Pandal, Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture in the evening, and I was in charge of the book tables. And I guess I wasn't that conscious. So I was like, there were no customers, so I was like chanting. And Prabhupada, he was like sitting on his Vyasasana, and the book table was over there, and he said something to the effect that one should not disturb the spiritual master with one's chanting. So that surprised me, because, you know, we all had so much reverence for chanting. Chanting was like everything. You know, chanting was the supreme perfection. But that made me realize that one had to be conscious of other things also, depending on the situation. Then I guess, many years passed, and the next event worthy of note was really the Japa retreat in Ojai last year. But there were some events leading up to it. One was someone forwarded, or I don't know how things travel around on the internet, but someone forwarded a message on the internet by Mahatma Prabhu called "Put an End to Courtesy Japa." So I read that and I thought, it's a serious business, Japa. And then, I don't remember every detail, but I kept hearing mention of the book called The Nectarian Glories of the Holy Name by Sachinandan Swami. So I thought, well, maybe I should read that. So I started to read that. That was also increasing my consciousness of japa, especially attentive japa. And then His Holiness Niranjan Swami came to stay with me for a while, and he was like very regular. He'd get up, take rest early, like 8 o'clock, get up at 2, and he'd chant like really focused rounds. He would do 32 rounds, and he would do 16 before he would do anything else, and then the other 16. He would do as much as he could in the morning, but he was sure to complete 32. So that was another impetus. So all of these things sort of helped prepare me for the retreat in Ojai. And yeah, the retreat in Ojai was one of the most profound experiences in my life. It was a small group, just God brothers and God sisters, and I won't discuss too much about it because we'll be experiencing something similar here. We might refer to different parts of it as we engage in similar activities here. But yeah, it was extremely deep experience. Of course, first and foremost was our relationship with the Holy Name. That was the main thing, that was the essence. But it also brought the fellow chanters of the Holy Name close together, and we saw each other as servants of the Holy Name, which is our identity. So I felt, you know, I don't want to lose this, you know, what I gained from this experience, I don't want to lose this. So as it was, I was planning, well, let's say I had been invited to visit an island in the Caribbean. And I thought, well, this could be a good idea to deepen my relationship with the Holy Name. So I accepted the invitation, and I didn't really have any other service there but to chant. And that really was good. I decided I would chant 32 rounds a day. And the first few days were very easy, like very easy. Do 16 before breakfast, then do another, say, 8. Well, could be 16, but say easily 8 between breakfast and lunch, and then another 8 in the afternoon. It was very easy. And then Ekadasi came, and I thought, well, do 64 on Ekadasi, which I did. But then something happened that I didn't expect. I became inspired to preach, specifically to write. And from then on, I was writing most of the morning. And then I had to fit in my 32 rounds, you know. Then it was a challenge, but it was also good because every moment was precious. You know, every moment counted. And so I didn't, you know, if I was going to spend even 5 minutes in some casual activity, I really thought about it carefully first, because you know, 5 minutes could be one round. Well, that was very good. it ended up being a very productive time for writing. But my main purpose in going was also fulfilled. I really did deepen my relationship with the Holy Name. And I completed my rounds. The day I was scheduled to leave, there was a hurricane. So that gave us more time to chant. And then by the time, I got another flight, I was able to chant 32 rounds for the day I was leaving. So then I arrived in Dallas, and I thought, well, okay, now. I thought, well, 16, that's too little. I'll do 20. So I was doing 20, and one day I took a walk at White Rock Lake, which is where I usually walk in Dallas. And, as I came around the lake, I was chanting, and I was feeling like these mantras are, like blank bullets. They're like, there's nothing to them. They're just like empty shells. And I felt bad about that. A little, to some extent for myself, but more for others, because in Dallas I had been speaking to some devotees, very sincere devotees. They wanted to follow my advice, but they just weren't strong enough. They were very sincere, but they just didn't have the strength. They couldn't quite follow everything. I mean, not the four principles, but other things that would have helped them in their spiritual lives. And I thought, if I had more potency, I could help them more. The instructions would be the same. I don't think the instructions would change. But if I just had more potency, it would enable them to, it would inspire them, it would enable them to follow better. Like Prabhupada, just by his potency, we were able to do so many extraordinary things. And I was feeling like really desperate, not just I was firing blanks, but it was like I wasn't able to serve the devotees as well as I wanted. So anyway, I just kept chanting in that mood of whatever, lamentation or whatever, and just chanting and chanting and chanting. And without knowing it, I came to 32 rounds. And then I suddenly got relief. I felt relief. The chanting was easier. It started to flow. It was like a little relish, a little taste. And so then I thought, well, maybe I'm supposed to be chanting 32 rounds a day even now. So I played with it like the next day, saw how I felt after 16, 20. Then when I got to 32, oh, okay. So I got the message. I'm supposed to continue to chant 32 rounds. And I didn't know how long it would continue. I thought maybe this is it for the rest of my life. So I kept chanting 32 rounds in Dallas, then in Houston. And eventually I went back to Santa Barbara and got more into my writing and editing. But that was good. But that 32 rounds, I think that was for that special period. I should say compulsory for that special period. And, my next visit to, I think it was the same visit. Yeah, the same visit when I went to Houston from Dallas. There was a japa workshop with Mother Narayani, and I participated, and that was very good. It was very good. Not the same as a retreat where you get away from everything and But it was good. It was good. And I remember I was staying at a devotee's house and I had Tulsi in my room. I would always like to chant in front of Tulsi. And those were just very special rounds. And that was, I think, after that workshop, that they really were very special. And there were some devotees who were very serious about chanting with me. And having them chant with me actually enhanced the experience. Usually I'm wary about people chanting with me because I'm afraid my mind will get distracted by their minds. But these devotees, and I experienced that in other cases, like if the devotee is very serious about chanting and absorbed, then it actually enhances my own experience of chanting. And then, you know, I agreed to participate in this, but within the last week or two, I read another letter from Mahatma Prabhu, in which he said that we should periodically get away from our other activities and business and just focus on japa. And that really made sense. You know, at first I thought, okay, well, I've done this once. I had an experience. I've done it once. But I realized this is something to do periodically, like many devotees, they try to go to the Dham once a year. But that actually made sense, because it's hard to maintain that focus when there's so many other activities and people and engagements and distractions. So that made me think, yes, this is something to do periodically. And I'm very much looking forward to this time away to be with all of you and deepen our relationship with the Holy Name. Hare Krishna.